Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go, hour two. It flies by. Alex Curry joining us today. Joy's off. Live in L.A., it's The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. My buddy Ryan Russillo was just on. T.J. Hushman's out in a couple of minutes. He's about as good with the draft as anybody. He works out with these kids. He told us Justin Herbert was going to be a star. Joe Burrow was going to be way better than I thought. Josh Allen, he worked with. Working with all those guys down in Irvine, California. It's good to be in today. And Alex Curry, again, is joining us. So, you know, I said this to Joy the other day. I find myself, I've watched more UFC cards and more baseball than I have in recent years. Some of that is the UFC's had good fights, not a good card this weekend. And part of it's because I'm in Los Angeles and the Dodgers are like an all-star team every night, 14-4 or something like that. I didn't watch them last night. I watched the NBA. But I'm really putting my arms around how lucky we are to have football, because last year at this time, we went in March. We sort of went, you know, the pandemic hit, mm-hmm. and we started, for Joy and I, the draft saved us.
Yeah.
So two things saved us. Tom Brady got traded to Tampa. That gave us 3 weeks of shows. And then the draft gave us another 3 weeks. Had we not had that, we would have been in big trouble. There was a moment last year when I was doing this show where players in the NBA were pushing back. We didn't know if we were going to have an NBA season. And it was like May 28th, June 1st, I remember telling Joy off the air, I'm like, we're in trouble. Like, I have gone through 3.5-4 months of this stuff. I can't go to the next 3 months without something. And then thank God LeBron stepped in, Adam Silver, cooler heads prevailed, they went to the bubble. But I think I'm putting my arms around sports now more than ever, because we just didn't have it. And now that you have it, every night I just come home, afternoon, turn the TV on, find an East Coast game. Doesn't matter what it is. Just get a game on for me.
Let me tell you, too, because now that we have fans back at the stadium, I'm at Angel Stadium almost every night, you can feel their excitement just as much. There might be 10,000 fans. It feels like 50,000 fans. Like, people are excited to be back.
They want to be outside.
They just want to be a part of the game again.
Yeah. Well, golf participation soared throughout the country. People wanted to be outside, and golf courses were some of the few places you could be. So if you go look at golf memberships and golf activity over the last couple of months,
it was hard to get in.
You couldn't get on courses.
No.
So, by the way, I saw this quote this morning. The Dolphins have to really sell, not only sell Tua to the fans, but they got to sell Tua to Tua, because they benched him last year twice. And there's been multiple stories. Miami Herald, Dolphin players are like, we're not sure Tua's any good, blah, blah, blah. So it's inherent. It's really important, I guess, that Miami sells the Tua stuff. They've got to sell it. And so I saw a story this morning. They're confident in Tua because he is a winner. God, I hate that term. It is my least favorite term. Winner. Every quarterback at Alabama wins. Every quarterback at Ohio State wins. Dwayne Haskins, he's a winner. He's not good enough in the NFL. Let me give you some college records for quarterbacks who were winners in college, like legendary winners, all-time winners. Tim Tebow was 48-7. Vince Young was 30-2. A.J. McCarron was 36-3. Kellen Moore was 50-3. None of them, outside of Vince Young for about an hour and a half, were any good in the NFL. Let me show you guys who didn't win in college. Patrick Mahomes, under 500. John Elway, under 500. Russell Wilson, even spending a year at Wisconsin, a great program, barely above 500. They're better pro quarterbacks than college quarterbacks. And one of the reasons is that I hate the term winner is there are about six or seven programs in college football that I think have better people than NFL programs. I mean, Cincinnati is legendarily cheap, the Bengals. Detroit's three greatest players ever, two quit, and one Matt Stafford wanted out and got out. Cleveland, until recently, was a mess for 25 years. Alabama's a better football operation than the Detroit Lions. Alabama's a better football operation than the Cincinnati Bengals, and I would argue the Raiders. It's a better organization. So is Ohio State. So is Clemson. And because college football now pays for the big coaches and assistants like the NFL does in some of these spots, you're getting NFL guys in college. Lincoln Riley could be the coach of the Dallas Cowboys tomorrow. Probably be better than the guy they have. But Oklahoma pays him $7 million a year. $7 million goes a long way in Norman, Oklahoma. It goes a long way in New York and L.A. It goes miles further. So when you get these guys making $5, $6, $7, $8 million in college, like Harbaugh in small towns, and they can control their personnel, they build these unbelievable training staffs, Michigan, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, their weight facilities. When I lived in Tampa, think about this, Florida and Florida State, the Gators and the Noles have had indoor practice facilities for a long time. Jacksonville just got theirs like 3 years ago. So Ohio State has, I would say, has better facilities top to bottom than the Bengals do. I mean, and by the way, Ohio State, you know, they're paying their head coach. Urban is making more than Zach Taylor. So, you know, the reality is, you know, here's a great stat that the staff looked up this morning for Tua. Since the college football playoff was created in 2014, Bama's made 6 playoff appearances in 7 years. The Dolphins have made 1 playoff appearance in 7 years. What does that tell you? It's easier to win for a quarterback at Alabama than the Miami Dolphins. So this whole thing, oh, he's a winner. It doesn't mean anything to me. It just, you know, a lot of great quarterbacks, Elway, Mahomes, Russell Wilson, struggled in college because they weren't NC State, Texas Tech. You know, Stanford back then was all academics, wasn't about football. TJ Hushmanzada has been playing this game for a long time. He's got great stuff, works out with a lot of these quarterbacks and wide receivers. He's now joining us live. You know, I said this earlier. I know you like Zach Wilson, but you start digging deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And a lot of the comps have been to Aaron Rodgers, and I do agree that he's got the ball just flies out of his hands. But I do start looking at stuff where he is 0-5. I'm not talking against necessarily the best competition. He's 0-5 in college against teams that won 10-plus games, which includes San Diego State, Coastal Carolina. Against the two best coaches he faced, Kyle Whittingham, Chris Peterson, he's 0-3. And I do think, TJ, sometimes there are quarterbacks that are a little bit of frontrunners. They're very good. You know, it's the old Mike Tyson thing. Tyson was great against tomato cans. But if you gave him Lennox Lewis and you gave him Evander Holyfield, his temperament changed. His confidence went away. He got very frustrated. Mike was two different fighters. Should I be worried that against the winning cultures he faced, Zach Wilson struggled against all of them?
I wouldn't be worried about it. You have to look at the totality of the situation. What did he have an inferior team? I mean, it's as simple as that. Had he been a quarterback at San Diego State, would they have beaten BYU or would they have lost the game? Just in my experience being around the Aaron Rodgers comp, it's dead on just how effortlessly he throws the ball. And that's probably the thing that stands out more than anything is just he throws the ball so easy. Like, that's what caught my eye. It just, like, literally, when he was born, it was like, you're born to be a quarterback and nothing else. And that's what I felt. But, I mean, there's some merit to it. It's when you punch somebody and they're used to going down. Now you punch them, they're not going down. They're going to fight back. Are you going to fight back right now because you're surprised that they didn't fall? And so you don't know what somebody has inside of them. You would believe you get this far, he has it inside, but you just don't know.
No, I mean, that's always been my knock, TJ, on Aaron, is that, you know, Chargers a couple years ago, Niners, Tampa, in big pass rushes, Aaron's, you know, everybody struggles with pressure, but Aaron can be a tad bit of a front runner where he just crushes his division, but against better teams in big spots, he throws an early pick or two, he sometimes shuts it down a little bit, and he's not the same quarterback. I do worry about Zach is that he's a good-looking kid, ball comes off easy, you know, he's a flashy player, and when I look at all these numbers, I'm like, is he a little bit of a front runner? Listen, you played in this league for a long time. You know you played with wide receivers who were front runners. They were great in garbage time. They didn't want to go across the middle against the Steelers. So you've played with guys, forget quarterbacks, didn't you play with guys who were front runners?
I mean, a lot of guys, when things are going well, I have a saying, it's don't sing the blues when you lose, just grin when you win. And a lot of guys, they can't handle the ebbs and flow, the peaks and the valleys. And again, we don't know how Zach Wilson is going to react to adversity. And we don't, and it's not even Zach Wilson. It's any player that's coming into the National Football League. You just don't know how they're going to react to any type of adversity. You would think playing football your entire life, you get to this point that you should be able to handle adversity because you faced it. You didn't just come into college and you were a starter from day one. You got to compete. You got to beat somebody out. And so that's facing adversity. The NFL is a whole different ball game because you're playing for keeps. These are dudes' livelihoods. And so I would like to think he has that intestinal fortitude inside of him. But again, you just don't know.
DeVonta Smith, somebody's going to drop in the draft. And I've said the quarterbacks may drop a little, but I'm sorry, Justin Fields and Trey Lance are too, they're too talented to drop too far. Like, people need quarterbacks. Denver's told you they need a quarterback. New England needs a quarterback here. And next year's quarterback class is not as good. So I don't see a quarterback falling a lot. But I look at a player like DeVonta Smith. There's a lot of good receivers. He comes in at 6 feet, 166 pounds. A lot of people think Waddle has a better body for the NFL, Jalen Waddle, than DeVonta Smith. And I just look at him and I think to myself, wide receiver over the last 3 years, there are so many great ones coming out of college. I could see DeVonta Smith dropping. And people just saying, you know what? We can get a receiver in the second round. We can get a receiver in the third round. What do you make of his size, which is, I mean, it reminds me a lot, you know, OBJ, little spindly, has been hurt. DeSean Jackson, 13 years, only played 2 full years. He's had a lot of injuries. He's a little, could I say DeVonta is slight and a little spindly?
Oh, DeVonta is small. Now, OBJ, he's short, but he has some size to him. OBJ is not a thin dude. DeVonta Smith, he's just a small guy. He's not, I mean, 6 feet. He's really light in the you-know-what, as we would say. But if you look at what he did in the SEC, which is the best conference in college football, it didn't affect him. Will it concern me? Slightly. But what he did against the competition that he faced, it's there. The proof is there. He was able to perform. And Waddle does have a better frame for it. Waddle was a better college football player than DeVonta Smith from Nick Saban's eyes, because prior to him getting hurt, he was the number one receiver on that team.
Yeah.
If he drops, how far does he drop? Oh, you don't go in the top 10, you probably go top 13. I mean, he's still blessed either way you look at it, but it doesn't concern me because he's been small and thin his entire life. He knows how to navigate through it. The rules in the NFL are so different, Colin. Guys aren't going across the middle and getting banged. The hits that look hard really aren't that hard. He'll be able to protect himself. But is it concerning? Slightly. But he performed at a high level against very, very good competition.
So I was saying this earlier, you know, when people say Tua is a winner. Well, Alabama, between their training staff, their facilities, and their passion for football, is better run than the Detroit Lions, probably better run than the Cincinnati Bengals for 20 years. People always think that if you go to the NFL, oh, you get better trainers, better coach, better coordinators. I'm like, not really. You had Dennis Erickson in college, who had success in the NFL. So, you know, take me to your NFL career, this idea that it's always, you're always going to get better stuff in the NFL. And I'm like, if you play at Ohio State, the training table, the trainers, the staff, I would say it's better than 6 or 7 NFL teams. Take me to your career on that.
I would agree with you 1,000%. And I believe any college athlete that played in a Power 5 school, for the most part, facilities are top-notch. The training table, they're begging you to take things home. And you know, certain teams in the NFL, they're telling you not to take anything home. And so, just from that perspective, it's different. But it's what you said, that the facilities in college football are better than the facilities in NFL. And the reason is, it's the recruiting, Colin. If you're not updating and having the latest and the greatest, you're getting left behind.
Yeah.
And so you can't recruit these kids. In the NFL, taxpayer-funded stadiums, when it's built, it's built. They might touch it up, but for the most part, it is what it is. And so, you know, in college, when I was in college, I mean, we're staying at the Ritz-Carlton, the Westin. And then you get to the NFL and you're like, wait, we not staying there? Why we staying here? Like, and so it was completely different.
Yeah.
And 1,000%, if you're not doing that in college football, you're being left behind, and left behind meaning you're not getting the recruits you need.
Yeah, I haven't been to the Alabama facilities since Nick Saban took over. But I even went to 2 years ago, I went to the Cal Bears, and they had just built theirs. They got the Pac-10 television money came in. This is Cal. This is an academic power. And I looked around those facilities. I'm like, this is Cal. I couldn't believe how nice the facility.
Colin, go see LSU's. Go up to LSU. Go up to Baton Rouge and look at their facilities. And it's like, wow. Like, you don't even want to leave them.
Stay the night.
Stay the night. No lie. The food is great. Everything is fantastic. You don't want to leave.
Yeah, I mean, if you went from Nick Saban, your coach, to Dan Campbell of the Lions, you're getting a less, I mean, nothing against Dan, but you had a better coach in college. Like, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but you just, all right, finally, you work out with a lot of young guys. Just give me a couple guys you've worked out with in the last few days and what you've seen.
Well, a lot of guys, it's changing a little bit, Colin, because they're having a lot of Zoom meetings now. And so our workout times are changing. But guys are just, they're eager, they're anticipating, like Kyle Pitts. You just don't know where you're going to go. The quarterbacks, they're on Zoom calls. Oh, we got to work out here. Oh, can we change the workout to another time? Because a lot of them are on Zoom calls. The pro guys, OTAs have started. So now they have meetings early in the morning. So normally we work out early in the morning. Now we're working out later in the afternoon. Things have changed. But guys are just the vets getting ready for the season. And the young guys are just trying to prepare themselves for the draft. And don't get disappointed if you don't go where you think you should go. Let it motivate you. Let it push you. And that's the biggest thing, because everybody believes they're going to be a first-round pick, and it's only 32 guys that are going to get that opportunity. Don't worry about it. Go prove your point when you get there.
Great seeing you, buddy. Love your stuff, TJ. Thank you so much.
Colin, I appreciate it, brother. Take care.
Good stuff. Bruce Feldman had that article in The Athletic where he talked to all these scouts about quarterbacks. He'll be joining us later this hour. Jonathan Vilma, too.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Sunday on Fox, the NASCAR Cup Series heads to Talladega Super Speedway for the Geico 500. The high-speed action starts Sunday at 2 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
Good things come to those who wait at Jersey Mike's. They also come to those who don't. Download the app, order ahead, skip the line, cut to the chase by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. And here is Alex Curry with the news.
Well, Anthony Davis is expected to make his long-awaited return tonight for the Lakers. He confirmed yesterday that he's feeling great and 100% healthy after missing the last 9 weeks. Now, Coach Frank Vogel said AD will be limited to about 15 minutes of playing time to start, and he will gradually ramp him up. Now, I am an optimistic Lakers fan. AD's been out for almost 2 months. We're about a month away from the playoffs. I'm hoping that this was the perfect amount of time to get AD back to 100%. And then when LeBron comes back, he'll hopefully be at 100%. And they're going to make that great run in the playoffs and hopefully get back-to-back championships. But it's interesting.
You know, what's really interesting, and the Lakers have earned a lot of their recent success, but they've also been the luckiest team in the league. So last year, the bubble really hurt a lot of veteran teams. But LeBron is old and AD is brittle. So the bubble was a huge benefit to them. This year, there's no fans really at the games. So when the Lakers tell AD, take your time, or LeBron, if you had a packed arena every night and LeBron and AD aren't there, there is some institutional pressure in the building that we're charging our fans. I mean, the Lakers would never allow, like, the Kawhi Leonard load management thing plays with the Clippers. It would not play for the Lakers. It's like, no. I mean, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Lakers, you know, there are these organizations, the Cowboys. You're the biggest show in town. You don't get to do load management. when I look at this pandemic, I mean, nobody's been lucky, but the Lakers have oddly gotten huge breaks. They gave AD 4.5 months last year and an old LeBron, and LeBron came back totally energized.
Yep.
And this year you have no bubble, but there's no fans, so there's no institutional pressure for the Lakers to rush LeBron and AD back for all the fans paying $600 for a ticket.
Yep.
I think AD's going to come back here tomorrow. I think LeBron comes back probably in a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think immediately they look like the best team in the league.
Well, they get that rest again.
Yep.
Like before the bubble. It's exactly what you said before. It's, I don't know. I'm excited for it. I'm rooting for it. Like show fans. All right, but let's move on because the Eagles traded away Carson Wentz, paving the way for Jalen Hurts to take over as the starting quarterback. But new head coach Nick Sirianni isn't committing to Hurts just yet and says he still wants to have an open competition for the job.
To name any starters at this particular time, we've been working with these guys for 2 days, right? We've been working with these guys for 2 days. My biggest thing is competition. It's, again, we've talked a little bit about my core values. It's my second core value. It's this team's second core value. Competition's a huge thing, and we're going to have competition at every position.
Yeah, I mean, this feels like a fourth place team to me. It really does.
It's just not a great way to also come into the 2021 season, not having the guy who you think is going to be the guy, Jalen Hurts, not feel wanted. All anyone wants to feel is wanted. You bring in Joe Flacco to back him up, maybe teach him a couple things, and he's not getting the support that I think he thought he was going to get, but he also didn't get it at the end of last season when they pulled him in the fourth quarter and bring in the third string quarterback. So I'm interested to maybe understand and feel how Jalen Hurts is mentally feeling about all of this.
By the way,
right
I should
now.
Know this. Who is the backup to Jalen Hurts? Why don't I know this?
Joe Flacco.
Oh, Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Who, by
that's
the way,
who they brought in.
Yeah, who doesn't play anything like Jalen Hurts. So that's.
No.
Yeah. So maybe that's not a threat to Jalen Hurts, but Flacco is a statue. So I always find it weird when teams have a backup that has a completely different style. Like Baltimore has Lamar and then RG3.
Yeah.
So there's certain symmetry. Like if you have Kyler Murray or Russell Wilson, your backup should move. So if Russell goes out for a game, you have to reinvent the offense. To have Jalen Hurts and then Flacco, that's two different body types, two different styles. It's so weird to me.
Everything seems kind of like a hot mess there right now.
Like, by the way, I don't like what Washington's doing in the quarterback. But Taylor Heineke is a runaround guy.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is a runaround guy.
Yeah.
That's why I thought Darnold there would have fit because he's a runaround guy.
Yeah.
Like Washington's got two guys. I don't love either of them, but it's kind of the same ad-libby, gunslingery style. So, you know, we saw Taylor Heineke against Tampa Bay. He can be a problem. You're not going to build around him.
No.
But you don't have to change the offense when you bring him in. And I don't get anything Philadelphia's doing.
But work with him right now. You have a new coach. Work with him. Make him feel good.
Yeah.
My thought. Okay. Well, the Bengals are in a great spot in the draft this year. They have the fifth pick. And with at least three quarterbacks expected to be taken ahead of them, Cincinnati will be able to select one of the best players on the board. And Joe Burrow has total confidence that his team will make the right choice.
I think we're in a good spot to just take the best available, especially after the free agency that we had. And, you know, I trust the organization to do what they do and do their jobs and pick the best player. I'm not watching the film on any of these guys. I'm just seeing highlights. So, you know, the organization knows more than I do, and they'll make the best pick.
And you know what? Cincinnati's a little lucky because what they need is available at five, which is offensive line help and star receivers. It's very likely, if you look at the draft, that either Penei Sewell, the best left tackle in about 3 years as a prospect, or Rashawn Slater, who can play any position on the O-line outside of center, which is absolutely what everybody wants now. You can do either tackle position or Jamar Chase. I don't think so, but Kyle Pitts. I think Atlanta takes Kyle Pitts. So what they need is O-line help or more weapons for Joe Burrow. They're going to get the number one something. They're either going to get the number one tight end in 20 years, the number one wide receiver in 2 years, or the number one left tackle in the last 2 or 3 years. So Cincinnati's perfect. What they need, there are three great options, and they'll pick one of them.
I mean, you have to remember, Burrow was sacked 32 times last season, the third most before he had his injury. So what's more important? Protecting Joe Burrow or giving him the weapons that he needs?
So, and my takeaway is protecting him. So if Joe Burrow did not get hurt, I would go draft Kyle Pitts or Jamar Chase. Once he got hurt,
you have to protect him.
Yeah, and I also think you can start, as a general manager, I know it's selfish, but you have to protect yourself. if you don't get an offensive lineman, and we may have a flurry of teams, late first round, early second, take goal linemen, and you end up with the seventh best tackle instead of the first,
Yeah. It's
an easy, if Burrow gets hurt again, it's like, well, you didn't go get him. So, like, nobody's going to bang on you if you don't draft a receiver early. And Burrow gets, if you draft Slater or Panay and Joe Burrow gets hurt, then people will say, well, the organization did their part. Mm-hmm. Joe's just injury prone. But if you go receiver, you end up with a seventh best tackle, he gets hurt, people go, you should have taken a better lineman.
Yep.
You have to protect the organization and yourself sometimes, not just Joe Burrow. Alex with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
The story came out yesterday. Justin Fields has epilepsy. I think it's something. I don't think it's everything. You know, the reality of this stuff is my wife used to be in HR years ago. So she hired chefs for a company, helped hire chefs. And we used to have these discussions. We haven't talked about it in a long time, but she had to hire people, HR. And so you start hiring dozens upon dozens upon dozens of people, and you have to be judgmental. HR people are, you know, body language, eye contact. It's not just your resume. And I can remember, you know, my wife telling stories that I can't even believe they're true. I'm just like, come on, this is not true. And I don't think epilepsy should stop anybody from being drafted. But I do think it's something. And just like HR, when you're hiring, somebody comes and they don't have their shirt tucked in. It's not everything, but it's something. And I said this years ago about Dak Prescott. There was a moment for Dak Prescott and people thought it was nothing. And I said, it's something. It's not everything. It's not even the most thing, but it's something. I've told this story before. He's on the sidelines. Cameras, he doesn't think's on him. You know, defense is on the field. And he throws a paper cup, and it misses the target, the garbage can. And it bothers him. And he goes back, and he grabs it, and he puts it in the garbage can. Now, by the way, there are paper cups all over the sideline. I mean, you know how guys are. They drink Gatorade. They throw it. They miss. They got people to literally pick up paper cups on the sideline. It bothered Dak Prescott. It bothered him. And I said on the air the next day, I said, he's conscientious. That is something. It's not everything. And he's become very good with the intangibles, leadership. And Dan Mullen was Dak's college coach. And I brought him in the other day. And the truth is, Dak wasn't that talented as a thrower. He never was. But there was just a lot of things that NFL people couldn't see, and that's why he dropped to the fourth round. And Dan Mullen talks about the young Dak that nobody but Dan Mullen knew.
He came to a camp early on, and you know, we wanted to love him, and he didn't throw the ball well. He wasn't very big or exceptionally fast, you know. But everyone said, "Hey, boy, he is a winner." The high school coach, and everyone looks and says, he just makes everyone around him better. So it became one of these. We wanted to love him. We gave him some things to work on. He came back to the elite camp a couple of weeks later. I've never seen the intangibles in a human being like he has. He just took over a workout of elite recruits, and he knows nobody, and every one of them are ready to follow him wherever he goes.
That's very much Russell Wilson. They brought Russell Wilson to Seattle as a third-round pick. They had signed Matt Flynn. And the Seahawks noticed in like early camps, like OTAs, that players just move toward his optimistic vibe and his body language. And again, this nothing is everything. Everything is something. And when you talked to Dan Mullen the other day, he was great, by the way. Go back to our archive podcast and listen. I mean, it was funny how often he said, you didn't throw very well. I didn't run very well. It was never the physical attributes. It was just little bits and pieces. So when I see things... epilepsy. It's not, I don't think it's, it may be 1%, but I think combines are 1%. I think the Wonderlic's 1%. I think medical history is 1%. I think picking up that piece of paper for Dak Prescott and garbage can, it's 1%. It's something. It's everything's telling me something about you. And that's why you can't overreact to any medical information. You just put it like HR people do when they interview you. They just, it's on the file. You're just kind of aware of that something in the profile. Bruce Feldman had a great article this week on The Athletic. He interviewed all these coaches, 24 scouts and coaches, and their thoughts on quarterbacks. And we basically talked about it all day yesterday, and Bruce joins us next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's a writer for The Athletic, has covered college football for 26 years, a New York Times best-selling author, and he works at Fox Sports, covers our biggest games. His name is Bruce Feldman. He's also a friend. He's joining us now live. He had a great story this week where he talked to 24 scouts. So basically, it took over our show yesterday, and we thought it was fascinating. And I have said one of these quarterbacks is not going to work, and it's probably not going to be the kid's fault. It's going to be where he goes, and I do worry about Zach Wilson having potentially the fourth best coach in a tumultuous organization. I know he's talented. I don't doubt that. But I've seen a lot of talented guys wilt when they just don't have a support system. It's like any of our kids. Your thoughts about New York, the Jets, and Zach Wilson in the fit?
That is the concern, Colin. I mean, I talked to a bunch of coaches and a bunch of position coaches and quarterback coaches, and the biggest issue that I heard with Zach Wilson was not his arm talent, certainly. It was starting with this. Is the competition that he played last year at BYU, where through no fault of their own, because they couldn't schedule Power 5 opponents, they didn't play a lot of very good teams. And so when coaches looked at his film, they said, you know, you don't see him throwing from a tight pocket, and the NFL is a tight pocket league. He's not facing SEC defensive fronts or even Big Ten defensive fronts. There's concerns about his play style, especially when he's not a big physical guy.
Right.
He could take a pounding. And then the other big concern was the decision making. And the decision making, one coach pointed out to me, he said, you know, his arm isn't as much of a wow arm like Patrick Mahomes, but there is some wow throws. But when Mahomes was coming out of Texas Tech, there was concern about his decision-making. Now, what was different with Patrick Mahomes than the situation Zach Wilson's going to probably go into is Patrick Mahomes went to the Chiefs where he was able to sit and learn behind Alex Smith, and he had a great coach for him and a great system offensively with Andy Reid. This is not what we're expecting Zach Wilson to go into, and he's going into the New York media market, which we know what that can be like. So there is a lot of concerns, not just about Zach Wilson, but about the fit he's going to have going in with the way he plays.
I know Trey Lance a little bit, blown away by the kid. People that I respect, like Trent Dilfer, are telling you at the whiteboard, pretty phenomenal kid. I did a mock draft yesterday. I think New England's not going to get the first three. And I just think Trey Lance fits them perfectly behind Cam for a year. What do you hear about Trey Lance? What did your scout say?
May have the best arm actually in this draft. May have the most upside. People love his arm strength. They also like that he's really, really athletic and can run. And he's A-plus football IQ, A-plus character guy. Now, the challenges here are relatively small sample size. He didn't have a lot of throws in that one great year he had. Also, one of the quarterback coaches I talked to from the NFL said, you know, when you watched him in the one game he did play against Central Arkansas this year, there was a lot of easy throws that you expect him to hit on, and he didn't. And so there's some inconsistency issues. There's some concerns a little bit about his mechanics, that there's some stuff that people feel like need to get cleaned up, but they think he will be able to do it. And people love the intangibles with this guy. You know, I talked to his offensive coordinator with the Bison a few days ago. One of the things he talked about was just how smart he is, and also his commitment to working and working and learning. And they just rave about him from an intangible standpoint. So you take the intangibles with the arm talent and the athleticism and the physical size. There's a lot to like. You would not think that Trey Lance, with his intangibles and some of the physical tools, would be the guy who ends up being a bust down the road. But you're probably going to have to be really patient with him as he kind of gets acclimated to basically an NFL system and kind of works out some of the kinks and in his mechanics a little bit.
It's a really unique draft where I can see the top 10 picks all being offensive. I mean, Dallas won't get Kyle Pitts, but I mean, Micah Parsons is it. Is there any boomer bust there? What do you see with him, the linebacker from Penn State?
Yeah, there is some boomer bust. I had one NFL linebacker coach say, you know what, I think he has the talent to at some point be the best linebacker in the NFL. I mean, he is a guy who can run 4-4 flat, makes plays all over the field. Also, when you talk to people at Penn State, they've been talking about how his ability to rise to the competition and to the moment and his competitiveness is off the charts. Those are great things. The last game he played in college football, because he opted out last season, was the bowl game against Memphis. And the NFL people watched that film, and they're like, that's one of the most impressive performances they've seen by a linebacker in years coming out of college. The concerns a little bit are he freelances a lot. He has not played a ton of football. One coach had made the point, you know, I don't worry about him from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. I do worry a little about from the 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. in terms of just the maturity. He's going to need somebody next to him maybe to get him settled in. He takes a lot of chances and he freelances a bunch. But there is a lot of wow factor. And again, you look at Devin White, who was remarkable in the Super Bowl. Devin White's a great athlete too. This guy's bigger. I mean, a lot of the linebackers you see in the NFL who are thriving, Roquan Smith, they're 6'1", if that. Devin Bush, even shorter than that. This guy's 6'3", 245. He has the potential to be really special. It's just, you know, it's they're going to have to stay on him a little bit and just clean up some stuff just because he's still really young and at an early stage of his development. But there's a lot of stuff to love there.
Devontae Smith, 166 pounds. That seems small. What did your scouts say?
People love his unbelievable hand-eye coordination, brilliant kid. In terms of, like, you talk to people who know the Alabama staff really well, they said it's at one point Alabama had to have him play a little cornerback, and they said he jumped in. He knew the defense as well as anybody on the defense. Just a really, really savvy guy. The challenge is, and this is what one of the coaches pointed out to me, was, look, in our league, big guys beat up little guys. And the stuff that concerns you, because you know he's really tough and he will try, is just that when you take these shots from the side, from these monsters in the NFL, that's where you get AC issues. That's where you get collarbone issues. And that's the stuff in terms of a durability is the thing that gives them pause. But everything on the film, everything from the character standpoint, they love. It's just, again, you know, he's 166, going to be 170 pounds. You know, there is a little concern of how long will he last at that size in the NFL the way it's played.
Kyle Pitts is a unicorn. I can't wait for that stuff. I think Atlanta takes him at 4. Had Dan Mullen on yesterday. He was just great. I've never heard anybody, you know, we haven't had a top five tight end prospect drafted since 1972. I mean, I imagine your scouts all loved him.
They did. And he's rare in that, yes, you can see the measurables. He's got great length for a tight end. He's running around high 4.4s. The stuff that jumped out to people on film was he didn't drop a ball last year.
Yeah, I know. Crazy.
You know, really competitive. People loved that he didn't have to play. He could have been one of these guys who opted out like Micah Parsons did, like Ja'Marr Chase did, and still been a top 10 pick. Not only did he do that, but when they were down by 20 points against Alabama, he was the guy battling to bring them back, and to some degree he did. So those things are wow things. The other thing is, when you look, you just do not see guys like this coming out of college at tight end. Usually guys who have this kind of freakish talent with that kind of length, they're rushing the passer. So to see what he has, to couple the ball skills that he has, he is different. He is really different. If you wanted to talk to people in the SEC who coached against him, but also NFL talent evaluators that I talk to, they think if there is a guy with Hall of Fame talent, the top of the board on this draft, it is Kyle Pitts. He is that guy.
Good stuff. Bruce Feldman, Fox Sports, writer of The Athletic. Go subscribe and read his column this week. It's fantastic. Buddy, good seeing you again.
Great seeing you, Colin. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting about, I follow recruiting. I'm really into it. And it's funny how the difference between college and pro. I'm not a big fan of colleges recruiting kids in high school that are, quote, the athlete, positionless, because you only have 17 hours of practice, and I don't think most college coaches are as good as NFL coaches. I think you have to hand them a kid that does something. He's a center. He's an edge rusher. He's a corner. He's a receiver. In the NFL, I don't mind it at all because I think the coaching's better, and I can give them 40 hours of practice. I'm not limited by the NCAA. So Isaiah Simmons is positionless. It worked at Clemson because they have a great staff. It wouldn't have worked everywhere. Isaiah Simmons is positionless in the NFL. I'll just take him. He's just a great athlete. So Micah Parsons, he freelances. That can be problematic at college if you don't have a great coach. You only have so much practice time. He's doing his own thing. But in the NFL, I just want dudes. I believe that I have so much practice time, I'll figure out a way to make, quote, great athlete work. I just got more time. Hour 3 coming up live in LA. It's The Herd.